Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
Everybody, welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Hopefully, these engineers will get this echo out of my ear so I can talk without hearing myself talk back to myself. But nevertheless, until that's resolved, I'll just deal with it. Here's the reality. If you are a New York Knicks fan, and your goal is a championship by any means necessary, then to be the man, you got to beat the man, goes out the window, and you should be rooting for the San Antonio Spurs. Because Victor Wembanyama, the all-world 22-year-old freak of nature, the alien from France that has arrived on U.S. soil to play in the National Basketball Association, looks tired, vulnerable, and beat up. And because of that reality, if the New York Knicks were to face the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA Finals, because the New York Knicks are waiting for somebody, because they're already there. They're already there. If the New York Knicks were to face somebody in the NBA Finals, the chances of them winning the chip are better against the San Antonio Spurs than the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, at the beginning of the season, I picked the Oklahoma City Thunder to meet the New York Knicks in the NBA Finals and ultimately beat them. My emotions have taken over, no doubt, and I'm going down with the ship, damn it. If the Oklahoma City Thunder victors over San Antonio in game 5 last night in Oklahoma City were to face the New York Knicks, I'm going down with the ship. I'm not picking against my New York Knicks. I'm just not doing it. I can't do it. I can't do it. But I'm not blind. And the reigning defending NBA champions are that for a reason. Playing without J-Dub, Jalen Williams, an all-star caliber player, an all-star caliber defensive player, by the way. Combined with playing without A.J. Mitchell. Two elite guards in this game, as far as I'm concerned. Oklahoma City still went home for game 5 and handled the San Antonio Spurs. You could point to Isaiah Hartenstein dropping 12 points and 15 rebounds and a tremendous defense that he's put on Victor Wembanyama in his face, being physical with him all the time. You could point to Chet Holmgren showing up for a change, hitting 6 of his 9 shots, finishing with 16 points and 11 rebounds, or playing the kind of game he was capable of playing, and we all know he's capable of playing. But I'm going to look at Jared McCain. Traded from Philadelphia earlier this year, coming off the bench, inserted into the start lineup, played a big-time game as far as I'm concerned, and Alex Caruso, of course. You understand, Mr. Reliable, showing up on both ends of the floor defensively, offensively, and being a rough rider that he is and playing the way that he's capable of playing. You look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they're just loaded with guards. I didn't even bring up the reigning two-time league MVP, who's the starter team, who also happens to be the point guard, and he's 6'7". His name is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, dropping 32 points. When you look at the San Antonio Spurs and you compare them to the Oklahoma City Thunder, even though I do believe San Antonio will win game 6 and they will force a game 7, because I think that Wembanyama has one more game in him where he's just otherworldly, and they're going to be galvanized by their home crowd, which means that the role players are going to feed off of that, which means Vassell and Castle, and or Vassell rather than Castle, and De'Aaron Fox and Dylan Harper and these boys, and this guy Johnson, the Keldon Johnson, their sixth man of the year. I mean, these guys can play in San Antonio. They've got championships in their future. Make no mistake about it. I just didn't think this year was the year, and I stand on that because I picked OKC to win this series in 7 games before it began, and I'm sticking to that position. If San Antonio comes back and shocks everybody and beats them over the next 2 games and knocks off the reigning defending NBA champions, props to them. But Wimby looked beaten last night. I'm talking about physically. You know, he's 235 pounds for sure, but he's 7'5". He's real thin. And putting a body on him seems to have an effect on him, at least in this series against Isaiah Hartenstein. What he did in game one when he dropped 41 points and 24 rebounds, he has not done since because Mark Daigneault, the coach, who's an outstanding coach, shifted things up. And what he did was made sure that in shifting things up, he put a big body like Hartenstein on him and was physical. We know what Hartenstein could do because he was a New York Knick before he signed with Oklahoma City for $87 million. We know what Hartenstein is. We know what he could do. We know what he brings to the table, okay? And he's doing it with Wimby. So when I look at the New York Knicks and I think about the San Antonio Spurs, I see a young team, but a team nevertheless that has not been there before, has not been in this position before, that can appear a bit rattled from time to time, that just doesn't seem to have it at times. And I think about the in-season tournament, even though it was the regular season, and I think about Wimby, who was on a minutes restriction, coming off an injury, and I understand that San Antonio Spurs then are not the San Antonio Spurs now, but I think the way that the New York Knicks are playing, the way that Karl Anthony Towns is playing, the way that Mikal Bridges has been playing, which has been outstanding, the way OG Anunoby has been playing, the way Josh Hart being that Energizer Bunny and that Rough Rider, and he's been playing, the way Landry Shaman and McBride and these boys come off the bench doing what they're doing, and Mitchell Robinson, I do think that the New York Knicks, led by the great Jalen Brunson, can really, really do some harm. And their experience and the savviness of a Brunson and others could really spell problems for the San Antonio Spurs. When I think about Oklahoma City, this brother, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, he's just special. He's just special. And the thing about him is that he doesn't get rattled. It's nothing to him. Home crowds, noise, hostile environments, cheers at home, and it doesn't matter to him. He doesn't care. It means nothing to him. It's like I keep going back to when I was doing NBA Countdown for ESPN last year, and we had to cover the Western Conference Finals, and we were covering the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we watched Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I keep remembering a game in which they just ended up losing by about, they were down by about 44 points. Okay? They were down by about 44 points. And the crowd in Minnesota was going crazy. And they took Shai Gilgeous-Alexander off the court. And he just smiled and clapped. It didn't faze him one bit. And he just let them know. They had lost that game by 42, 143 to 101. That was the score. Game three. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just clapped and smiled while walking off the basketball court. He had 14 points that game on 4-13 shooting. And they were getting destroyed by Minnesota. And he just clapped and looked at the crowd and said, I'll see y'all next game. And the very next game, they won. It was a thriller. They only won by 2, but they won the game. And then closed out game 5 by beating Minnesota by 30. That's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. That's who he is. That's who he's proven to be. And when I think about the one person that can do to the New York Knicks what Jalen Brunson does to his opponents, I think of that person being Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Completely, utterly, and totally unfazed by the moment. And he's just going to come at you and just do what he does. You might get the better of him one or even two games, but in the end, his attitude is, I'm going to be the one standing. This is a man that people sit up there and lament because he draws fouls or whatever. They keep forgetting his savviness, his knowledge of the game, his basketball IQ, his ball handling ability. He's missed the mid-range. Plus, he could hit a three. Plus, he could finish at the basket. Plus, he could finish on the break. Plus, he could hit free throws. And, oh, by the way, he's not a shabby defender. And keep they're ignoring this. And they're ignoring the fact that a Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, he's averaged over 30 the last four straight years. I want you to put that in perspective. And he's done things statistically during the regular season and during the postseason that only Michael Jeffrey Jordan has done. That's who Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is. It ain't always pretty. It ain't always fan-friendly. But you talk about getting a job done. That's who he is, man. That's who he is. That's who he cares to be. That's who Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is all about. If there was ever the potential for a kryptonite to what Jalen Brunson brings to the table for the New York Knicks, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And when you look at the San Antonio Spurs and the rest of them, and you see a Stephon Castle and a Vassell and all of these guys and the potential for foul trouble and all of this other stuff going on, look at Oklahoma City. There's Alex Caruso. I'm talking about as defenders. There's Lou Dort. There's Alex Caruso. There's Cason Wallace. There's A.J. Mitchell. There's Jarrett McCain. With Shai. Potentially with J-Dub coming back. Jalen Williams. Him and A.J. Mitchell out for these finals the last few games. Couple of games because of hamstring and calf injuries respectively. I mean, I just named you seven guards. Seven. All of whom you're capable of throwing fresh legs, fresh body at Jalen Brunson. Thank God the New York Knicks come finals time, June 3rd, will have played only four games in 23 days. Because boy, are they going to need their rest. This is the picture that we have to paint as we dissect what's transpiring with the New York Knicks and the impending NBA Finals, whether it's against the San Antonio Spurs, who are down 3-2, got game six tomorrow night, or whether it's the Oklahoma City Thunder, who takes them out in six or takes them out in seven. This is what's going on. And the question is, what you going to do about it? What you going to do? In the end, the San Antonio Spurs would be a more ideal opponent for the New York Knicks than Oklahoma City. But as it stands right now, it's likely that in order for the New York Knicks to win the championship, they are going to have to take the crown from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the reigning two-time league MVP and NBA Finals MVP and NBA champion. They are going to have to take it from the reigning defending NBA champions in all likelihood, unless San Antonio pulls something out of its hat that we didn't know they could do. So the question is simple. How okay are y'all with that? As Knicks fans, do you prefer to see them against OKC or San Antonio? Do you think they could beat either opponent? And to the fans, to the general fans out there, who do you want to see most? Do you want to see a finals with the Knicks versus Oklahoma City? Or do you want to see it with them against the San Antonio Spurs? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. New York Knicks did finish the season 53-29. San Antonio Spurs won 62 games. Oklahoma City won 64 games. Home court advantage is going to the West. That means the New York Knicks, no matter who they play, will be playing games 3, 4, and potentially 6 at the Garden. And if there's a game seven in the NBA Finals, it will have to be on the road. Obviously, we remember the last time we were in the finals and on the road, it was in Houston for game seven. And that did not pan out well. Don't get me started with those memories. They've stayed with me for over 33 years. 32 years. Still hurts. To this day, it still hurts. But it is what it is. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number. Call us 888-623-3646. Need to get to a different story on the NBA. And I'll get into some baseball stuff a little bit later on today because I'm just trying to look at the New York Yankees and people are getting so excited about them. I'm not. I'll tell you why. People have lamented the state of affairs going on with the New York Mets. Don't blame them. I'll tell you why. I'll get into all of that a little bit later. But I will tell you, sticking with basketball right now, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Why are they relevant? Because they decided to keep Coach Kenny Atkinson. A couple of days after the Knicks stomped them, beating about 37 in the closeout game, one of the first things the Cleveland Cavaliers organization does is place its faith in Kenny Atkinson and say he's not going anywhere. And chances are they're going to keep Harden too. Well, basically, you just told the city, look, man, we good with the playoffs. We recognize we ain't going any further because what the hell are you supposed to think after watching the Cavaliers get straight punked by the New York Knicks? What are you supposed to think? Do y'all understand that the New York Knicks have won closeout games against Atlanta, Philadelphia, and Cleveland by 30 or more points each time? On the road, by the way, in Atlanta, in Philly, in Cleveland. Do you know that the New York Knicks won by 51 points against Atlanta in that closeout game? That they were up by 47 points in the first half. Did you know that? Did you know that they just blew out Philly? Did you know that against Cleveland the other day they did the same? Did you know that the New York Knicks in each of those closeout games were up by at least 20 in the first 14 minutes of the game? I understand that Oklahoma City and San Antonio, they are not Cleveland, Philadelphia, and Atlanta. I got it. But there is something to be said about the Knicks doing what they're supposed to do and stomping your asses out. There is something to be said about that. And that's exactly what they did to those three opponents. Now, I can't see that happening against San Antonio or Oklahoma City, but I got to give credit where credit is due. And I have to say, they handled their business the way they were supposed to handle their business. And I think that's a sign of a champion. Kenny Atkinson, getting back to him. This coach, same coach with the analytics, we really won two of the three games, even though they were down 3-0. They really won two of the three. If you look at the analytics, that coach, same coach that didn't have the pulse of his team, same coach that sat back and watched his players just fold on him. That's the guy they're keeping. And James Harden, that's the guy they're keeping, who just is allergic to prosperity deep into the playoffs. That's the guy they're keeping, who sat up there and did not play well at all and was completely abused by the likes of Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges, literally said on camera he thought he did pretty well defensively. I mean, you talk about cats living in the twilight zone. This brother saying that, there's no other way to take it. But nevertheless, he said what he said. And Kenny Atkinson said what he said. And I'm not talking about his record. He won 64 games last year. He won, 52 games this year, okay? He obviously can coach. He's not a scrub coach. But the point is, you got to have the kind of personality that galvanizes your troops and get them together. And if you ain't that dude, why should you be there? Why should you be there? If I'm Donovan Mitchell, I don't know if I want to be there, but suddenly he's on there. He's on a record praising the living hell out of Kenny Atkinson. I think a lot of cats are looking at their comfort zone and they're not looking at what it takes to win. That's just my personal opinion. But having said all of that, Kenny Atkinson spoke. I want to remind y'all of some of the words coming out of his mouth. Listen to him post-game after the Knicks obliterated them on Memorial Day Monday. Listen to Kenny.
I have confidence in myself, first of all. confidence in the group, the roster talk, you know, that's for down the line. You know, our front office has done a phenomenal job. Like I said, giving us a great roster. You know, obviously there'll be decisions to be made like every summer. But I think we're doing pretty well with those decisions since I've been here. So just keep trusting our process, trust our collaboration.
What process? What collaboration? What are they building? You know, you could talk about getting to the conference finals. You could talk about two grueling seven-game series. Why was Toronto a seven-game series? Why was Detroit a seven-game series? If Harden plays the way he's capable of playing alongside Donovan Mitchell, that doesn't need to go seven games. If Evan Mobley had that dog in him, and I know he can play, I mean, that's not seven-game series. If I have a payroll, if I'm Dan Gilbert, the owner for the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I got a payroll that escalates above $211 million, which is the highest in the league, I'm sorry. I'm not going to sit idly by and feel good about that. You know, there is such a thing as being able to lead men. Nobody is questioning the X's and O's of Kenny Atkinson and what he knows. We all know the man knows basketball. And he was an assistant with Steve Kerr, which goes a long way. He's a former head coach in Brooklyn, which goes a long way. I got that. I'm just talking about what you got from him. I don't know, honestly, how you can sit up there and it's Wednesday and your season ended so unceremoniously on Monday night and it's Wednesday and you're already declaring he ain't going nowhere. This is our coach for the future. Really? Really? I don't get it. I just don't. But maybe that's just me. What about y'all? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Donovan Mitchell, he had some stuff to say on behalf of his coach as well. And also, I want to remind you again of what James Harden said. Let's go with Harden first, Sean. And let's play what Harden had to say before we hear what Donovan Mitchell had to say on behalf of his coach. Listen to James Harden, y'all. Listen to
I think I did pretty good, you know. Like, I don't grade myself off shot making. You know, I think coming here was just a piece to fulfill whatever needs to be fulfilled. And, you know, defensively being extremely solid, offensively, you know, getting guys shots and fitting into a system that was already in place. You know, so I think I did good. You know, obviously I could have been better. I feel like I always could be better, you know. But I know one thing, that I work extremely hard.
James Harden is one of the more prolific scorers in NBA history. He's a member of the All-NBA 75th anniversary team. He's also a former league MVP who went three consecutive years averaging over 30. Ladies and gentlemen, in his years in Houston, I want to show you, after he departed from Oklahoma City in 2012, I want to read to you what James Harden's numbers were over the next 10 years. 25.9, 25.4, 27.4 points, 29 points per game, 29 points per game, 30.4 when he won the league MVP, 36.1 when he was runner-up for the league MVP, 34.3 when he was in third place for the league MVP awards. So for four consecutive years, he was a top three candidate for league MVP honors. For three consecutive years, he was number two or number one in league MVP voting. Think about that. And so I'm looking at a guy that everybody's been, this is a guy that just this past season, for the Los Angeles Clippers, before moving on from Cleveland, James Harden was averaging 25.4 points per game. But then he goes to Cleveland and says, I don't measure myself by my scoring. Really? Do you do that when you go to the negotiating table? Do you do that when you're looking for the player option that's going to pay you about $43 million? I mean, come on now. Come on. Of course he's looking for more. Of course he knows what's expected of him. You don't expect game four with James Harden to shoot 2 of 8 and score 12 points. But then again, you do expect it because he's done it too many times before in the past in a closeout game. It's just unbelievable, and it's unacceptable. But back to Kenny Atkinson. He has the support of his players. I'll give him that much. But supporting him on the court would have been better than something like this from Donovan Mitchell.
It's just hilarious. We've done something that we haven't done since 2018, and we're still going. Like, there's going to be criticism everywhere. Like, we're on Kenny, right? But why? We got here. I know for a fact he's from Long Island. He don't give a damn. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it's just the world we live in. We could have made it to the finals and got swept. Somebody's going to say something. I told you that. Even if we won, there's going to be something. Like, can we do it? Like, it's always going to be something. Right, and it's always gonna be something for people to say, but ultimately we're in the thick of it. We're in it together, and that's my biggest thing. It's just people are gonna be people, and honestly, who cares?
You should care. But that's not just about Donovan Mitchell and the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's about any player in his position. They should care. And I'm going to tell you why right after we pay these bills. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute.